I mean, if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Leviticus chapter 16, starting in verse 7. Leviticus chapter 16, starting in verse 7. Is Sister Lisa in the house or she's in Sunday school? Okay, she's not in here. Oh, I was going to tease her a little bit. She told me, take your time so people can feel like Pastor Abbott's here. I told her, hey, people are probably happy. We're going to get out of here early this morning. No, I'm just kidding. I love hearing the bishop preach. He is my favorite preacher. His wisdom and his knowledge and just his the way he delivers things and the way he is straight out about things. There is no other way that I want it than straight up. Just tell me the way it is. Don't sugarcoat it. And that's the bishop. He don't play. If he's got something to say, he's going to tell you. In love, but he's going to tell you what he's got to say. And I'm missing Bishop this morning. I believe he is traveling as well. Let's keep him and his wife in our prayers. We miss him this morning, and I pray that God would bring him home safely as well as he travels. Leviticus chapter 16, starting in verse 7. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Next verse. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. Next verse. But the goat on which the lot fell to be a scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Amen. I want to preach to you on this thought this morning. Sons of God. Amen. Sons of God. Now do me a favor, just extend your hand out. Ask God to help me to deliver his word that he has for you this morning. Lord Jesus, I give you praise and I give you glory. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to minister your word to your people. I pray that you would open up their hearts. I pray that you would open up their ears to receive the word that you have for them. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Here in the book of Leviticus, we see God giving instruction to Moses about Aaron, the high priest. And he basically tells them in chapter 16 how to handle the service of the Day of Atonement. Now, the Day of Atonement was a very special day to the Jewish people. The Day of Atonement was a day that all the sins of all the people in Israel would be removed from them. And they would start the new year fresh, being purified, and all sin would have left the camp, and any sin that was in the camp would be purified by the blood of these goats. It was said that Aaron was to take a bullock first. He's supposed to take a cow, and he's supposed to take it and sacrifice it. And before he did this, he's supposed to change his garments. He's supposed to put on some white linen garments, white underwear, if you will, white overthrow, the breastplate, but it was all in white. It was a special ritual. He was going into the presence of God, and I find it reoccurring in the Bible where it talks about the white linen. It talks about the white linen on the outside of the tabernacle. There was white linen all around. Aaron, when he went into the presence of God, he had to have this white linen on him. The Bible says that when we get to heaven, that we're going to have white linen garments. Amen. So it's just a little picture of what's coming. And Aaron is supposed to change his garments, wash up real clean and put these garments on and go and take this bullock. And he's supposed to offer it for himself and for his family first, because he was the high priest, but he was a human high priest, meaning that he had sin also. So before he could deal with the sin of the rest of the camp, he had to deal with his own sin. So he had to go and put his sin on this bullock, and that bullock would become his sin, and he would go and sacrifice it, and he would take the blood, and he would go and put it on the mercy seat, and he would sprinkle it all over the mercy seat and all over the altar. And then the Bible says in Leviticus 16 that God told him to take two goats. Take two goats. One goat was going to be for the Lord as a sin offering, and the other one was going to be a scapegoat. So these two lords, these two goats would be presented in front of the tabernacle, and they would cast lots. Aaron would have like this, these two rocks inside of this container, and he would put one rock on one and one rock on the other, and one of them would be to be sacrificed as a sin offering unto the Lord, and the other one was going to be the scapegoat. So first he would cast lots, and the goat that belonged to the Lord, he would take that goat and he would offer it unto God as a sin offering. And then he would take that blood, he'd go back, and he would sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. Let me explain to you what the mercy seat, if you don't know what it is. In the Old Testament, God told Moses to build this tabernacle in the wilderness. It was a church, if you will. It was the first building that God dwelt among his people. He told him to build this tabernacle, and he had the white linen all the way around, and all these posts all the way around, and on the east was the entrance to the gate. And the first thing that you saw when you walked in to the wilderness tabernacle was the brazen altar. I don't know if any of you remember our experience conference that we had. And we had experienced the glory. And when you walked in, where's Brother Scott? Thank you, Brother Scott. Brother Scott helped me build probably the biggest brazen altar I've ever seen. It was amazing. It was awesome. You walk in, and the first thing you saw when you walked into the church was this huge, huge brazen altar. And that's what you saw when you walked into the tabernacle. And then as you went through, after the brazen altar was the laver of water. This is all in the outer court. And the priest would do the sacrificing on the brazen altar, and then he would go and wash in the brazen laver, and then you would walk into the holy place. And inside of the holy place would be the table of showbread and the candlestick and the altar of incense. And behind that there was a veil, if you will, a curtain with cherubim, angels on it. And behind that curtain was the most holy place. And that is where the Ark of the Covenant was. It was a golden box. I don't know if you remember, we had it sitting up here. That was probably one of the best props you've ever had, Brother Scott. I mean, we made this church into a tabernacle. It was awesome. We had the brazen altar, we had the laver of water, and then we had the table of showbread here, and we had the candlestick here, we had the altar of incense here, and then we had a veil that was torn in half. And up here in the back, in the Holy of Holies, where people get baptized, we had an Ark of the Covenant. It was so awesome. If you missed that, you missed out. I have good pictures if you want to see. It was amazing. And anyways, the Holy of Holies was where this golden box was. And on the lid of this box, there was these two angels that overshadowed the mercy seat. It was called the mercy seat because that is where the presence of God dwelt. And inside of the Ark of the Covenant was the Ten Commandments, the law that God gave to Israel. There was a golden bowl of manna and Aaron's rod that budded. And so it was Aaron's job to go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle that goat's blood on the mercy seat, because it was covering. It was, the blood was in between God, the blood, and the commandments which the children of Israel were breaking throughout the whole year. And so the only way that the sins can be remitted was through the spilling of blood. Without the spilling of blood, there is no remission of sin, the Bible says. And so this ritual of spilling the blood and putting it on the mercy seat is just a small glimpse of heaven. And I'm going to get to that later. But he goes and he spills the blood and he pours it over the mercy seat that's between God and the law that they were breaking. What a merciful God we serve. You see, when God created Adam and Eve, he wanted to be amongst them. He was their friend. He would go and walk with them in the cool of the day in the garden. But when the devil deceived Eve and brought sin into the Garden of Eden, it separated the human beings from God. Sin separated us from the presence of God. And so God started to prepare from that moment, that time that sin came into the garden. God had already prepared, and I preached on it before. If you were here, I was talking about how the seed of the woman would eventually step on the head of the snake, and there was going to be enmity between them. And so God had already put a plan in place to redeem the human race from the minute that they messed up. That's how much God loves you, and that's how much he loves me. You think that God didn't know that you were going to be an imperfect people and that you were going to mess up? He knew when he created us that we would fail. That's why the Bible says that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundations of the world were ever even set. God already had a plan and a purpose for us. And he already knew that he would be the one to redeem us. Amen? Amen. And so he would go and sprinkle that blood on the mercy seat. And then he would go into to the holy place, and he would pour it all over the furniture and all over the walls. And he would go out to the furniture in the outer court, and he would sprinkle it. And if you can imagine, it was like an eraser. I mean, sin was all over the place. It was everywhere. But the minute that blood started to sprinkle over here, and it's like an eraser, it just started to vanish because of the blood of those animals. And he just would sprinkle it here, sprinkle it there, sprinkle it there. And the blood was like a purification process that happened not only in the tabernacle, but throughout all the camp of Israel. Amen. Are you with me? And so the high priest would enter that room only once a year. Only once a year in his priestly garments, he would go in there and he would make an atonement for the sins of Israel. And when he was done with that, he would take the second goat and he would lay his hands, both hands on the head of that second goat. And he would put all the sins of the people on that goat. And then he would have someone take it out of the camp. The Bible says that they would release it into the wilderness. A picture of sin leaving the camp. It was gone into the wilderness. And so those two goats, I started to look at it, and I was like, man, what's going on here? As I was reading it, I was like, okay, so there's two goats, and one gets killed and the other one gets released. And I don't know if any of you have ever seen this, but the symbol that the devil uses is the head of a goat. And the reason why he uses this symbol is because it represents the sin of man. And so he wants to symbolize your sins. He puts it as a trophy that he exalts sin in the camp or in the children of Israel at this time. But today we know that the devil is always trying to trip us up, and he's always trying to cause us to sin against God, and he's always trying to get us to turn away from God. So he's the deceiver. He's a liar, and he was a murderer from the beginning, the Bible says. Amen? If the high priest does his job right, all of Israel is purified from their sins that they committed the previous year. So all these rituals, all this washing and all this killing and the spilling of blood was all to purify the people. And I hear people all the time, they say, man, if God's real, then why is there murder? Why is there all this stuff going on in the world? And I'm like, because of sin, duh. You know, sin separates us from God. And so when we're separated from God, you know, we're serving the god of this world, which is the devil. And we're going around doing nothing but evil. If you are not baptized in Jesus' name, repented of your sins, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost, and living with God, living for God with all your heart, then you're serving the devil. You can only serve one master, not two. You're either serving God, or you're serving that stinking, lying, murdering devil. And so all these rituals and all these things just to cover the sin of the people, to atone for the sins of the people, to cover or to pay the debt of sin on God's children. This world would be a better place if everyone would give their lives to Jesus. If everyone would come to an altar and repent and remove sin from their lives. Right? Because what does the Bible say about sin? The wages of sin is death. And so if you have sin in your life, you're on your way, on the path to destruction. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 26 says, "Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." The gospel tells us the story of when Jesus was on trial before Pilate, and they had Barabbas on one side and Jesus on the other. And he said, "You know, it is custom during the Passover that I release to you, you know, one prisoner. Who do you want? Do you want Jesus, the King of the Jews? Or do you want Barabbas?" The Bible says that the high priest started encouraging the people. "We want Barabbas! We want Barabbas! We want Barabbas! Crucify Jesus! Crucify Jesus!" And so the high priest starts to offer up Jesus as the sacrifice. The crazy thing is that Barabbas' name, what I found out, means son of God. Barabbas' name means son of God. And what's even more crazy is that his first name was Yeshua. Yeshua, son of God. So on one side, you have the carnal Yeshua, son of God. And on this side, you have the eternal, the Messiah, the holy Yeshua, the son of God. Here's a picture of the Day of Atonement. There's two goats. Those two goats, when they brought them to the front of the tabernacle, they had to be identical. Now, I don't know if Jesus and Barabbas looked the same, but the Bible says when you look up his name, that Barabbas' name was Son of God. Jesus was the Son of God, and they were presented. And the high priest is the one that says, "Crucify Jesus, crucify him." And he offers him up to be a sacrifice for sin. And Barabbas, he gets freed. They uncuff him, and he leaves. He leaves the city. He was a rebel. He was someone who rebelled against the Roman Empire. He leaves free into the wilderness. As I started to read it, I was like, "Oh my God." Everything that you read in the Bible, in the Old Testament, you can bring it back to Jesus Christ if you are looking for it. God's plan and his theme of the Bible is to redeem his people from their sins. No matter where you read and where you look, if you start diligently seeking God with all of your heart, you can find that God's plan and his purpose was to redeem his people from their sins. Why? Why? So that he could dwell amongst them. Amen? Come on. In the garden, he walked with them in the cool of the day. In the tabernacle, he was there in a pillar of a cloud in the day. And at night, he was a pillar of fire. He always wants to dwell amongst his people. And these were just shadows. They were just types. There were things that were going to happen in the future. I don't think they even knew what was happening as God was unfolding the story to Moses and telling them what to do. He didn't even know that us, centuries later, would be looking back and going, "Oh my God, Jesus, you love me so much. The love that you have for me, God. The mercy that you have for me, God. It's amazing." Now understand what happened. Jesus was the sin offering. Not only was he the sin offering, but he was the one true high priest. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come. You want to get that for me? Hebrews 9:11 through 14. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Amen. He was not only the sacrifice for sin, but he was the high priest. And I'll tell you, that whole tabernacle was just a picture of what is in heaven. I did a study one time as I was studying the order of the camp, and I was amazed how he had all the tribes surrounding the tabernacle, and they all had their own standard. One had a head of a lion, the other one the head of an eagle, the other one was the head of an ox, and the other one was the head of a man. And all four all encamped around the presence of God. When you read in I think it's either Revelations or Ezekiel, but you see a picture of Jesus' throne, and there's these cherubims moving all around the throne of God. And one has the head of an eagle, the head of a lion, the head of an ox, and the head of a man, with eyes all over. And they go, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," day and night, worshiping and magnifying their God. And I looked at the picture of the camp and the order that it was set and the standards that were all around. I go, there's the four heads, and there's all the eyes of the people facing the presence of the Almighty God. I said, oh my God, this is a picture of heaven. Heaven has its throne. It has its throne. It has its mercy seat. And Jesus Christ went and took his own blood to the mercy seat, and he set it there for the remission of the sins of all mankind once and for all. Hallelujah. Woo! It reminds me of his prayer where he says, on earth as it is in heaven. He was giving us shadows, glimpses of what is in heaven. If you will only look, if you only draw nigh unto God, he will give you revelation of things you never even imagined. Hebrews 9:24-26, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but in heaven itself, now to appear. You know what? Put it up for me. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Death, hell, sin, the grave had power over humans for years and years and years after the garden. And the only ones that were able to push their sins forward were the Israelites. But now that Jesus Christ has gone to Calvary and spilled his blood once and for all, he's dealt with this sin. Amen. What a beautiful thing that is. What a beautiful thing that is. We have remission of sin, and the hope that one day we will be dwelling with him in eternity. Amen. When he became the sacrifice for sin, he took my sin and he took your sin, and he paid the price with his life for any mistakes, any failures that you have made or committed, and any that you will commit. He became my sin. He became your sin. You see, in the tabernacle, when Aaron laid his hands on that goat for the sin offering, the sins of the people were put on that goat, and that goat became the sin. He transferred that sin from himself or from the people onto that animal, and that animal now became the sin. It's like imagine a rope is binding me, and I take it off, and I wrap it around that animal. Now that animal becomes my sin. Something happens. And because he has my sin, he has to die. And so his blood is spilt. And when the blood is spilt, then my sins are covered for another year. That's the way it was for them. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he put the sin of humanity on himself. The weight of sin was on his shoulders. Philippians 2, 6 and 8 says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He became the human Son of God so that he can die for my sins, and that I would have the right to be called the Son of God. First John chapter 1, verse 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We don't need animals' blood anymore to purify us. We only need the blood of Jesus. Amen. The answer to today's problems is the blood of Jesus. Amen. All we need to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel message is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we can believe on him, then we'll repent of our sins. We'll be baptized with Jesus Christ in a watery grave of baptism. We'll identify with his death as we go down into that water and that blood covers us. And when we come up a new creature in Christ Jesus called the sons of God. And he fills us with his spirit, and we're able to become a part of his body. No more rituals, no more changing of the garments, no more killing of animals, no more laying hands on this. When he went to Calvary, once and for all, he dealt with the sin issue. And that blood, that precious blood that flows from that cross is what redeems us from our sins. Many of you have been born of the water and of the Spirit already, but there might be some of you that have not. I say, there's water here. What does hinder you from being baptized and having your sins remitted? What's stopping you today from removing the stain of sin from your life? What's stopping you? God doesn't require anything of you other than faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. All you got to do is believe that God says who his word says he is, and you're on your way. God is not a God waiting for you with a hammer to crush you because you make mistakes. He knows that you're going to make mistakes. He knows that you're imperfect. He knows that you're going to have struggles. And that's why he became a man and he died on the cross. So that any mistake that you ever make or ever made can be removed from you and you can be reconciled back to him. You could have fellowship back with God. Could you imagine only once a year my sins can be removed? Only once a year he would go and make an atonement for the sins of Israel? But guess what? When Jesus Christ died, the Bible says that the veil between the holy place and the most holy place, it tore in half, giving everybody access to the presence and the throne of the Almighty God. I don't have to wait a year. I don't have to wait a year for someone to offer a sacrifice for my sins. I can boldly come to the throne of grace and I can ask for mercy. I can ask for mercy and God will forgive me of my sins if I will only confess that I am a sinner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a beautiful thing it is. What a beautiful thing it is to have such a merciful and loving God. This Tuesday evening will be the beginning of Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. It'll start on Tuesday at sunset. All the Jews will start a fast. They won't take a shower. They won't eat anything. They won't put no lotion, no perfume. They'll start a fast and they'll start to seek God and they'll start confessing their sins and asking God to forgive them. It's a yearly thing for these people. And then on Wednesday at sunset, it ends the Day of Atonement. They say that the Day of Atonement is the most spiritual, most celebrated day in all of Israel because this is the day that God will take away their sins. They believe that this one time a year that their names will either be written in the book of life or removed. They have these rituals, but man, I thank God that I don't have to wait a year. I wish these people would open up their eyes, but I get it. God said that they're going to be blinded for a season until the time of the Gentiles has come to an end. Then he'll turn back to Israel. But man, once a year they're going and they're fasting for a day and they're repenting and asking God to forgive them and they're going through all these rituals. And here we are today. We have the blood of Jesus. We have an altar. We can repent whenever we want. We can come and we can worship and praise and we can go come to his throne whenever we want. And at the end of their rituals, they'll take a shofar. Most of them are bigger than this. The guy that bought me this one, I think, was on a budget. But they're about that long. They're about that long. And they'll take a shofar at the end of the Day of Atonement as the sun goes down, and they'll blow this shofar. They'll blow it, and it'll bring an end to their fast. And they'll go and celebrate, and they'll go and eat another year of sins forgiven. Man, forget that. I want to be renewed and I want to be regenerated in the Holy Ghost every single day. I don't want to blow the shofar once a year. I want to blow it every day. I want to rejoice. I'm going to jump. I'm going to run. Why? Because I have a Savior. I have a God who removed my sins and he'll take it away every single day. Woo! I planned on blowing this thing, but I haven't been doing very good with it, so I'm just not going to do it. I tried at home. My dogs were going crazy. Let's stand to our feet. Musicians, if you will, Brother Alex. I'm finished. Now listen, if you want to be baptized, now's the time. We'll baptize you in Jesus' name. Let's do it. We'll remove sin from your life. You have the right to become a son of God if you want it. It's there. But all of us can come to God's throne every day. Why not today? Why not renew and regenerate that Holy Ghost this morning? Why don't we leave this place filled with God's Spirit and full of God's joy and leave here better than when we first walked in? Who wants to leave church? Man, I want to walk out going, thank you, Jesus. I love you, God. Thank you for removing the stain of sin from my life today, God. Because of you, God, I can rejoice, Lord. Because of you, God, I can live another day. I can live another day, God. And I have the hope of glory that you'll come back and you'll take me with you. Don't be like the foolish bridesmaid who didn't have enough oil. I want that oil to be flowing every single day. Fresh anointing, fresh oil, fresh touch from God. I want to feel His Spirit. I want to feel His Spirit in my very being every day that I'm alive. I don't want to go a day without the presence of God consuming me. I want God to abide right here. Right here, God. Here am I. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Consume me with your presence. These altars are open, church. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You don't have to wait for a priest. You don't have to wait for anybody. You can come yourself. You can come through the throne of grace and you can receive mercy. What are you waiting for? Come on. You are the sons and the daughters of God. He spilled His blood for you. He did it for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for the blood.